This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So, make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago, and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs.
Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals.
Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers.
Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
We're back in person.
Yeah. Is it live or is it Memorex? There's an old school.
I don't know that one. Is that floppy disks?
From the 70s?
Or
70, late 70s, early 80s. The guy, you remember the famous commercial? He's sitting on the reclining chair in front of the speakers, and the speakers are so loud that the wine glass is coming back.
Yes.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
I do know that.
There you go.
Guys, we did Adler's third birthday.
Thanks for the invite. Appreciate
it. At Chuck E. Cheese. Would you have gone to Chuck E. Cheese?
Hell yes.
Oh, I should have invited you. I'm sorry.
Know how many tickets I have left because I haven't actually gotten the thing that I would. Okay. Whatever.
Well, what do you want?
No.
Oh, because I have a
what
lot.
What I want was to be invited, but okay, I can't have that, can I?
I didn't think you'd want to go to Chuck E. Cheese.
No. Who wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese? Games and pizza? Awful. God, that's the worst.
We had so much fun, but I got to go in the ticket machine, you know, where you stand in the thing and they turn on the air.
Yeah.
Because, Adler got to go in the ticket machine, but of course he wanted mommy to go with him.
Of course.
I had the time of my life in there. And of course I was competitive and
that?
Adler was just standing there in awe, like, wow. And I was like, get the tickets!
Like, more tickets for mama!
And I was like, do I use my shirt to collect more? Like, do I open, like, what do I do? How do
I
get as many tickets?
Can you explain what this is? Because I have been to a birthday party where they do, it's like you're blowing air in a tube.
I'm for sure going to end up
definitely
with
COVID.
Definitely COVID. Yeah. Who knows what else?
You're in a hepatitis C tube.
You are standing in a tube, an enclosed tube with dirty paper that other people, lots of people have stood on, sneezed on, who knows what. And then they turn on hot recycled air.
Yes.
And the tickets go everywhere and you gather as many tickets as you can. And Adler was so cute because he just thought the whole thing was so cool. And then he had one ticket and he was like, got it. And I was like, no, you need to get more of them. And then he got another one and he was like, one in each hand. Yes. I'm done, baby. And I had a whole bunch of them. So anyway, we had a great time. I can't believe I have a three-year-old.
I know.
I don't know how that happens. I feel the same way every time you mention how old Indy is. When you say, I have a seven-year-old, I'm like, how is that possible?
It's crazy because, I mean, I was just talking with Indy yesterday about working on Girl Meets World before he was born.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We were, and he was like, well, how old was I when Girl Meets World ended? And I realized, like, oh, you were only like two.
Yeah.
So, it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah.
I remember Alex being pregnant on set when you were directing, and she was.
Yes.
It's nuts.
Alex is the cutest pregnant lady I've ever seen in my entire life. Well, she hated it. I know.
She's beautiful in general.
That is true. But that is true.
My,
but boy,
my oldest nephew, who is a child, announced last week that he's getting married.
My gosh.
So it is that kind of.
But he's
like,
probably not really a child.
No, he's like 26. He? Oh, so, but it's like one of those things where it's like, you can't be getting married. You're eight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Gross. That happens fast.
Well,
also, follow my new podcast, Stuff Will Wasn't Invited To. We're starting with
Maylin Ward's
wedding and then going right to,
Adler's
third birthday party.
We invited Adler's entire class, so his whole school and all their siblings. And so we had probably 80 some odd people there.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
And he, first of all, he's never had like a big event outside of seeing his friends at school. So when they arrived, he was like, what? And his friend Sammy ran up and gave him a huge hug. Aww, and just seeing him like with his life that no longer includes me.
Yeah,
so
he's grown
cute.
Up. He's three. He might as well be 35
now. I mean,
now.
He's got a whole life at school. But anyway, it was really fun. But so anyway, I was thinking like, is that a, do you want to see 83-year-olds running around with
Again,
Chuck E. Cheese? You do.
I
you
have nothing
wanted
whatsoever to,
go. To
do with that. I would have been doing skee ball. I would have been playing video games and I would have been eating pizza. That's
I'm
what
sorry.
I would have. That's what
stealing
I would have been
stealing tickets from kids.
Yeah, it's not stealing if they don't put up a fight. That's all I gotta say.
Welcome to Pod Meets World.
On that note,
I am Danielle Fishel.
I'm Ryder Strong.
And I'm Will Friedle.
Oh man, it was so great to have Marty on the show.
He's awesome.
He's so great. I hope we run into him again at a con. He is in this episode, but if I am not mistaken, well, this episode that we're about ready to cover is episode number 106, Boys to Mensa. Love.
Straight up 90s title.
90s title. I love it so much. It originally aired on October 29th, 1993. And Corey cheats on an IQ test and decides to run with it. A Mensa representative comes to test him at home, so he finally comes clean to his parents and Afeni that he is not actually a genius.
Shocking.
Shocking.
Shocking that Corey is not actually a genius.
So he is in this episode, but he does not have any lines.
Yes, no.
He's not really featured. He's background. In the classroom. He is a background actor in this scene, or in the scene, in this episode, forgive me. And I thought this episode was really cute. It was written by Michael Jacobs, April Kelly, and Jeanette Kotichas Burley. I do not know who this writer is.
You don't know Jeanette Kotichas Burley?
I don't.
Do you remember?
Wow.
Do you remember?
Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. I don't. I don't remember her at all.
Yeah, I mean, this is going so far because I mean, I'm trying to remember at what point I understood the writer's room. Like, at what age did I know? Because from our perspective, Michael Jacobs would be the one giving us our notes.
Yeah,
and he did run the writer's room, but the room is physically in a different building.
Yeah,
and we would never, you know, and we weren't.
Run-throughs, they'd be there, though.
Yeah, they would be there, but they wouldn't
talk
to us.
Yeah, nobody
so
talked
we didn't
to
know.
Aren't there some that stood out to you? Like, first season, I will never forget Ken Kuda.
Yes, because
of that laugh.
And I became friends with Jeff Sherman within the first season.
Me
I
too.
I interviewed him for a
Jeff
school
Manel.
Project.
I became friends with Manel, who was a great guy.
Right. But there was also a lot of other people that we didn't really
talk to. I remember
Dechter
and Strauss.
I do too. I remember Dechter and Strauss.
Was that first season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that was.
Because they brought me on to Odd Man Out as well. So I remember both of them. They were great guys.
Right.
Other than Susan Estelle Jansen, I don't remember any women from the first season.
I agree. And I don't know. So I don't know if this
Except
is
April,
someone who.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, April.
April.
Hashtag
and I remember
finding April.
Arlene Grayson.
April. Oh, God.
Producer Arlene Grayson.
Who was amazing.
Who passed away while we were doing Boy Meets World of, I believe,
bone marrow cancer. Bone cancer. Yeah. I think.
Our second season was dedicated to her.
Was it second or third? It was second, right?
It's the first episode of the second season.
Says
opens with a message to her, which then started a rumor that it was the Lily Nixay, because remember, Lily gone our second season.
Oh.
So people thought the little girl that played Morgan had died.
I didn't know that either.
That's what people there was like an online, I mean, I guess, I don't know if it wasn't online because there wasn't even really the internet, but there was a rumor that eventually came back to me in the late 90s. Somebody was like, everybody thought that was the little girl.
No way. Everyone thought Lily was Arlene Grayson.
Oh, I did not know that at all. No, Arlene was a sweetheart. She was our
producer.
Yeah, I mean, technically, she was kind of like, like Karen McCain was her assistant at the time, or her right hand, and she was kind of the liaison between Michael and that whole staff and everything on stage.
Production.
Exactly.
She basically oversaw all of the production.
I just remember she would always wear the same kind of sundress with that giant pager clipped to the top of her open sundress. It would just be there the entire time. She had an infectious smile and was a great producer for kids.
Yeah,
she
and was so awesome. Kind and wonderful and lovely. I have a great picture with her, and I will give it to the Pod Meets World Show Instagram, but I feel bad because she has one eye half closed in it. It's the only picture I have with her, I think, but it's not the most flattering picture of her, so I feel bad putting it up because she's a beautiful woman.
Oh, you know what? I'll give you the one I just found, our second... It was the end of first season cast photo. And it was all of us together, and Michael and Arlene are sitting in the middle of the couch, and we're all kind of like around her.
Okay, great.
So that'll be
okay, that's better.
Yeah, she was an awesome lady. She really was.
As we mentioned in this episode, Marty York is guest starring as Larry, but he's just in the background. Jane Carr, who I wonder if, Will, do you know who she is? She's a very successful voiceover actress.
I do know Jane Carr. She is an incredible voiceover actress. She's also just an incredible actor. She was hysterical in this.
She's so funny.
She was hysterical.
She has a real Bernadette Peters vibe.
She just, it's a very, just that dry, bringing in that dry kind of British humor. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sam Horrigan as costumed kid number 2, and Dusty Gould as costumed kid number 3.
We're searching for Dusty.
About Dusty. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Dusty. So, Dusty, if you are listening to this, please get in touch with us. Write us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com, please. We would love to have you on as a guest.
We will bring you to Chuck E. Cheese, Dusty, if you will please just get in touch with us, because we have so many questions. We really do. Please reach out.
Yeah, so let's hop into the recap, unless anyone has anything they'd like to talk about first.
No,
I'm good.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fischel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all 3 courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right. And that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh... Every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
As a podcast focused on reliving memories from our past, I can tell you firsthand, as you get older, your memory just isn't as reliable as it used to be.
Yeah, if we didn't have Will here, there would be a lot of dead air.
That is true, Robert. Well, guys, since I know you need a little help, you're going to love Legacy Box. It's the safest way to digitize your home videos and pictures, even when you think you don't have a way to watch them anymore.
Oh, this is perfect, especially with Mother's Day right around the corner.
It really is the perfect gift for the whole family, whether it's a sweet 16 or college graduation,
first steps, or performing a Backstreet Boys dance in between scenes on your childhood network sitcom. This is the way to reconnect with your history.
The process is so easy. You just fill your legacy box with old VHS or camcorder tapes, pictures, negatives, film reels. I mean, they even work with over 15 different types of analog media, so they have you covered.
Then you just send the box back, and their team professionally digitizes everything by hand in the U.S., and you'll get it all back on the cloud or on a thumb drive, along with your originals.
I recently sent off my first box to Legacy Box, and I got into my old storage unit and found about 40 tapes, all different media, and I was able to label each one and send it off. I cannot wait to see what these tapes hold.
Jensen and I also recently got some of his home videos digitized, and being able to hear his parents' voices again has been a real gift.
So join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories.
Go to legacybox.com/world to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever.
It's time to connect with your past and make sure those memories are preserved properly.
That's legacybox.com/world.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby.
I definitely remember shooting this episode, which was good because I didn't remember the episode itself. But right. Like when while I was watching, I was like, oh yeah, I remember wearing that mask. I remember being in that outfit. And I actually had a pretty significant part in this
you
episode.
You did. It's the first time we see you in the Matthews house. Well, other than the hair.
Yeah.
So you're kind of more
that's in this episode, right? Yeah. I'm getting so confused. But this is really where they seem to start to establish Corey and Sean.
Yes.
That Sean is this, you know, bad influence.
Like, well, yeah, like you have a character. There's an actual character there, and it's like, oh, it's the two of them are going to be connected.
I wonder if this was really the episode where they kind of discovered that.
It seems to be. Yeah. I mean, it totally seems to be the seed for everything to come. Yeah. Between Corey and Sean.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. We start in Feeny's classroom where, of course, because I notice that there is another girl in the front seat where Topanga sits. In the last episode, the episode we talked about with Lee, there was a different girl in the front seat. So they just keep putting a different girl in that front seat The female death chair, except, wow. I guess because I did 104 and then just wasn't back for a few episodes. So in the classroom, Corey has a red clown nose on. He's making faces to Sean while Mr. Feeny is speaking. He tells Feeny he's trying out the nose for his clown Halloween costume. And Feeny compliments Minkus on his excellent schoolwork per usual.
Can we also talk about Hokum?
Yeah, I wrote it. It's the first time I heard it. So the first time you mentioned it, I didn't remember hearing it in the episode. And then you mentioned that he didn't do it in an episode. And last night I was writing notes. So I was looking down and I just heard Hokum. And I went, wait, a Hokum. I heard a Hokum.
Hokum.
So here's the funny thing. He says, how come in this scene? At least 6 times.
Yeah.
But only one of them is a Hokum.
Yeah.
And it's the one, it's the first one
he says. First one.
He says Hokum.
We're talking about Corey, obviously.
Yeah. Corey says that Corey gets a C on his test and he compares it to the student next to him who also got a C. But Feeny had different feedback for both of them. One of them was, you know, nice effort. And the other one was, you know, a little disparaging to Corey. And he says, Hokum, he gets, you know, praised and I don't. And then he goes up to Feeny's desk. And he says, how come this? And he says, how come a bunch of different times? And it's totally fine.
Yeah. But the first one is a definite Hokum.
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 It's great. So Corey asks Feeny why he never picks on Minkus. And he says, well, Minkus gets nothing but A's. And Corey says Minkus gets away with anything like making paper airplanes. And
we get to see one.
We get to see. It's so cute.
It's a great joke.
amazing paper airplane.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I will never get over how incredible props departments are on sets.
Oh, it's amazing. It's magic.
It is absolute magic. You realize a prop department would get the script the same time we talked about getting the script. Yep. So the night before an episode. Now, to be fair, outlines go out a week or two ahead of time where there's some notice.
If like, it's going to be something major, usually.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, like, we're going to need it. We're going to do this. They may have known that a paper airplane was going to be in it, but maybe not. But they probably found out they needed to have an elaborate, awesome paper airplane the night or two before they needed to have that done.
Yeah.
And then they just make it happen.
Yep.
And I have had a shelf sitting on the floor of my house for 6 months because I don't know how to hang it.
Because you don't have a prop department.
Because I don't know how to hang it. And I think, how are people so good at this?
Yeah. I love the art. Art department is the most mysterious to me because I have no talent like drawing or ability to think in those kinds of visual prop terms. Like I just can't build anything. I'm just not. But it's also what I think is kind of the most important. Like I love it. In terms of filmmaking, like that's, I love when the art department feels realistic and lived in, or when it takes bold stances. I think it makes or breaks.
I was literally like, just going to use those exact words. It makes or breaks.
Well, like, you know, a movie that I couldn't stand, but I still loved because of the art department was Joker.
Mm.
Like the way that art department was able to create New York in the 1980s in that like gritty, it's like a very specific world. And that's all art department. It's
like
so
a Serpico
beautiful.
Kind of feel
oh
to
my
it.
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
And like, yeah, so I think it's like the most difficult part of the job for me to wrap my head around, but it's also the most important.
Now, I know it's a circle, which is not the hardest shape in the world to make, but you built your wife's wedding ring.
Yeah,
your engagement ring.
Smelted
you're like,
the
I
metal.
Have no, you're like, I have no talent. I can't wrap my brain around it. And then from scratch.
You smelted the metal.
You just wanted to say the word smelt.
No, Sue and I have literally talked about this where it's like, Ryder, it's like I see you out there with a pickaxe. Like, I've got to find the right metal.
It's the most thing in the world to have done.
Yes,
and
it is.
It makes us love you so much that you are such a romantic.
Yes.
That it wasn't just enough for you to design.
It's kind of embarrassing, actually.
Please
what I think
tell
about
the story.
No, I just, it's because my dad had made my mom's ring.
My dad, it's so cute.
My dad had made a lost wax casting, which is where you carve a ring in wax. And then you create a mold from that, and then you use that mold to pour the gold or silver or whatever metal into the mold, and you have a ring. So I had always
like
grown up.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Right, like
well,
one does.
My dad was always super crafty.
Yeah.
He built the house I grew up in, and he was an artist and a draftsman, and he could do all those kinds of things. And I think he had done it as part of a class. He had taken a jewelry making class when they were together. And so he did this anyway. So I always knew that in the back of my mind as a sort of family story. And so that's why I did it. And I had to ask around friends, like, does anybody know anybody who actually like makes jewelry? And I found a guy in Echo Park. And I went to his house for 4 weeks and
it took you four weeks.
Well,
is this like
and
the
then they cut his
line.
Cut your two lines. You seriously? You were crafting.
Wait, you lived at a guy's house?
No,
for
guys. I would go. What would happen? I was writing at the time with my brother downtown L.A. and I was living in Silver Lake with Alex. So I would have to go to my work, which writing with my brother, but I would really sneak away for like an hour or two to into this basement where this guy had made, and he taught me how to do like the basics. And then I would just have to sit there and carve.
Oh,
and he was like trying to be like my Mr. Miyagi. He was like, he wouldn't let me use his tools. I had to get all my own tools.
Oh yeah, no, that's a thing.
And then you're never going to do again.
We're never going to do. I mean, the reason we're having this conversation is I was bad at it. Like I was shaky. I'm not good at like fine
you
art,
couldn't
art.
Be a surgeon
no
okay. Well, you and could I, it'd just be a really bad one
and the ring is pretty ugly
it's not
it is my wife doesn't wear it anymore and I was trying to incorporate diamonds because of it's a wedding, you know, it's an engagement ring. I want to incorporate diamonds anyway.
You didn't make the diamonds, did you?
No, but I had to go get them. I had to go downtown. He sent me downtown to like get my own gold and get my own diamond.
Sure.
So I spent weeks like going through this weird secretive journey of like, yeah, someday I'll write a story about it, because it was wow. It was actually pretty interesting, and the guy was really interesting and kooky and would tell some funny stories.
In your story, can the woman say no after all that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's kind of great. That'd kind of be great.
I want that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so I just wanted to mention that, because Ryder's like, oh, I'm terrible at all this stuff. Yeah. But he made his wife's.
I'm gonna say smelt again. I just want to say that one more time. Oh, by the way, for the record, I think for the props department, we were throwing out props. It was Glazer, David Glazer, and Mark Papson, right? Correct?
Yep.
At
yeah,
this time?
This first season.
It was. Okay, yeah. So those are a shout out.
I think they were our props guys all throughout all 7
seasons?
No, because
then Mark Papson left to go do Seinfeld.
Oh, wow.
And he only did a season of Seinfeld, and then Hector came in.
Oh, yeah, Hector. That's right.
Hector came in, and then... I guess it didn't work out with Mark on Seinfeld, and he came back to Boy, and then it was mostly Hector and Mark who were there.
Interesting.
So yeah, they switched it up, but we've talked about that before. We talked about Dr. Papson.
Yes, that's right, Dr. Papson. Okay, so we move into the school hallway, and Ryder is waiting for Corey in the hallway after he had detention in art class.
Okay, I have a distinct memory of how bad of an actor I was making this scene. In front of the audience, I was trying to play waiting for Corey.
Okay.
What in the opening of the thing. And I checked a watch that I didn't have.
Oh,
I remember doing that in one of the takes. It's not in the take that we used.
That's great.
But I remember in front of the audience, I was drinking my juice or whatever I'm supposed to be doing. And I was supposed to like, but it was it's so clear to me now that I was like indicating acting. Like, right. I need to show that I'm waiting
passage
for
of
Corey.
Time.
Passage of time. So I'm going to look at my watch. And I didn't have a watch. And I remember in front of the audience looking it and down and being like, oh, that's bad acting.
No. Oh, it's kind of a funny joke though. If you wanted to turn that into a joke, that would have been great.
Just tap your wrist.
Yeah. What's happening?
To me, by the way, you've been on the show already, but this to me is the first Sean scene.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
this
right.
was Sean to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're
for
right. Because I'm like, I'm helping him get in trouble.
Well, you're
I'm checking the
sitting.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not sitting. You're not behind him in the classroom. Yep. You're not next to him in the cafeteria. Yeah. We see your physicality. We see how tall you are in relation to
him. This is Sean for the first time on the show.
That's true. That's interesting.
You know that, and I remember distinctly, I wrote that down. I was like, oh, this is Sean.
So we definitely shot this after Corey's Alternative Friends. We shot this after, and it aired after Corey's Alternative Friends.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because Corey's Alternative Friends would have been so this was probably soon thereafter, and becoming more of an actual character. This is the first time it feels like Corey has a best friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's his sidekick. I'm like a sidekick in this episode.
Yeah. And you know, you are. Yeah. But the thing that's kind of interesting is you're the one trying to talk him out of doing
eventually,
the thing.
Eventually, yeah.
And he's the one going, come on, I'm going to do it anyway. What's the problem?
Yeah.
That is something that never comes back. Yeah. That never comes back.
Well,
not really. Corey is always then kind of the timid one.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think. Doesn't second season have a lot of like Corey Sean hijinks?
Well, yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
Hijinks,
the scheming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember the first episode where I talked about it, where I was like, I thought it was going to be a scheme where Corey's like, hey, why don't we go to the game after school?
Right.
And then I was waiting for that to turn into something, but
it never did. Yeah.
This is, I think, the start of Corey and Sean are always scheming. They're hatching a plan.
Yeah.
This is kind of the beginning
of that. That's what I mean. This is Corey and Sean.
Yeah,
like, you get
hijinks.
To see it.
It's, it's very cute.
It's very
so
cool.
Sean finds the answers to an IQ exam in the trash can, which...
Like you do.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So, but sure, we buy it.
Well,
we buy it for the episode.
Yes,
Corey says the answers to the IQ test is one thing that Feeney will get. Well, is the one thing that will get Feeney off his back.
And I love Sean's logic, which is this is a test that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So interesting.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It kind of works, I guess. But yeah.
Also, a little ahead of its time. Like, IQ tests used to be a big thing that we gave kids and then put a lot on that. Like. Mm-hmm. Oh, where did you fall in the IQ? Are you average? Are you above average?
Right.
And now we look at IQ tests and we go, really, a lot of it depends on how good you are at testing in general.
Yeah, sure.
And they're kind of arbitrary. They don't really mean a whole lot. We don't place as much weight in them. So it's a little, for Sean, it's a little ahead of his time. Like, I'm not going to waste my time on this thing that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't get me an A.
Right.
So he's over it. And Corey's like, but what if I get to skip every test after this? Because Feeney thinks I'm a genius. So Sean actually tells him not to do it. But Corey says he's not smart and tomorrow he's going to be a genius. And sure enough, the next day we're in Feeney's classroom. He announces that there is a student who got the highest IQ score and who deserves a special mention.
Ben's aw shucks face throughout this.
Yeah.
The beginning of this scene is one of the funniest things. Where he's just kind of like raising his eyebrows and looking around like,
That's me.
I expected
it to happen. It's so funny.
It's really good. Yeah.
He just keeps that going for that whole first half of the scene.
Which,
I was dying.
By the way, it is maybe, aside from the fact that Feeny already knew going into it that there's no way this was legit, him knowing it's him, if you were a genius, you would probably be completely unsuspecting. Yeah. Like, yeah. What? It was me? Are you sure? There's no way. But exactly. He is making this face to everyone in this big exaggerated way. It's me. Yeah. It's me.
It's great.
That's so funny.
And I love how, and we can get into this also later in the episode, but I love how nobody buys it.
Oh, yeah. No one.
But there's not a single person that's like, wow, we didn't expect that. Yeah. Nobody buys it. Lee, you know, yeah. Minkus, nobody's parents, nobody buys it.
But they don't make it explicit.
No.
And that's super interesting. Cool, it's like it. Buried throughout the whole episode.
Yeah.
So I think, like, watching it with Indy, I think that there was some, like, do they know? Do they, like,
okay.
I think he didn't quite understand IQ, like the whole concept of like cheating and IQ, but he did understand. He was always like, is Corey going to get in trouble? You know, like, is Corey, are they going to finally talk about, you know, does he know? So I think for kids, it does kind of work. You
yeah,
know,
oh, yeah, definitely. Sense of, I also like the idea of we're not going to call you on it right now. We're going to let your conscience raised you well enough to know you're eventually going to call yourself on this. So we're going
to
see what
happens. Pretty
extreme
to let some like state testing worker. What is she? What organization is she from?
With Mensa, I think.
Mensa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, yeah, that's, okay. Yeah.
I did
strange.
Like though, their argument was at the end, Betsy does say we didn't have any proof. And so it is an interesting thing to say.
We're not going to just call you a cheater.
Yeah, I'm not just going to outright call you a cheater because I truthfully can't. I don't suspect that it's the truth, but I can't prove that you are lying. And so I'm going to let you face the consequences of this until you're willing to come clean, which I think is actually smart parenting.
Or Corey really is a genius and Betsy and Rusty's characters are not smart enough to realize it. That's also probably not what it is. That's probably not it.
So Minkus thinks he's the one who Feeny is going to announce as the genius in the class. And then he finds out he came in second. And one of my favorite things that happens in this scene that I do not know if someone told her to do it or if she just did it on her own. But the girl who is sitting in the front seat is drawing on her arm with a Sharpie.
I didn't notice.
I didn't notice that either.
She's just like this. Left hand with the Sharpie.
Wow.
Right arm, either drawing on her shirt or lifting her shirt sleeve up or drawing on her arm. Something. She's
giving herself a prison tattoo.
Girl is drawing on her arm with a Sharpie. And I thought, I wonder if somebody told her to do that in the scheme of genius. Like, do something that's
not
geniusy, that's a little weird.
I bet you it's just a bored extra.
I think so. I think she was just like, I'm going to draw right here.
I also think it's funny that neither of us saw that, how we're all watching different things when we watch the show, because that's your seat.
That's exactly what I'm looking at. I wanted to call it the Topanga seat.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, we didn't even notice that.
Right, no.
But that you're like, that's where I'm supposed to be. So I'm noticing everything she's doing.
Look at her. She's drawing on her arm. Unbelievable. That is. That's exactly why I was looking at it. I was thinking, I should be sitting
there.
That's my seat. So Mr. Feeny says he needs to bow to Corey's genius, and Corey turns to Sean, suspecting that Feeny knows. It's a big uh-oh.
It's a very big deal, Mr. Matthews.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And then we are in the Matthews living room, and we see for the first time that Betsy, Amy Matthews, does have a job, at least part-time, out of the house.
Yes.
In every episode up until this point, she has been handing someone an apple, fluffing pillows, who knows, you know, doing something with
laundry.
And this time she's dressed very nicely, and we learn that she is at least a part-time real estate agent. Mm-hmm. So she is getting
showing a house.
Ready. Yeah, she's showing a house.
You think it's still the brick split level on O Street?
I remember you always remembered that line.
I do. So she's in one episode. And it just stuck with me. She's trying to sell the brick split level on Oak Street.
And Will would say this for all seasons. You don't remember this?
No. Oh yeah.
It was always like, I don't know why it just became the joke.
It
was like, where's Betsy? Well, she's trying to sell the split
still
level.
Still trying to sell that. Brick split level on Oak Street. It's been 6 years on the market.
We haven't seen that yet. That doesn't happen.
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah, okay. I haven't heard it. But yeah.
I thought about that. It's like, oh, wait, is this the brick split level?
Nope.
Oh,
no. But she has. It is a showing that she's doing some. Yeah.
Okay. So she's showing a house.
But we're going to talk about this later because she's also called a homemaker at the end of the episode.
Yes. She's a homemaker with a part-time job.
Yes. That's what he says. Okay. And she's also a real estate agent.
All right. We'll get into it. But yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if a homemaker is something different than a housewife. So we'll discuss that when we get to it.
Yeah.
Because he mentions a homemaker and then talks about how all of this helps to create the home. Right. And part of that is she also works outside of the house, and that helps bring in extra income. And so that's what's making the home work.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's like an ecosystem. I don't know. We'll talk about it later. So Amy says that they're going to buy Morgan's Halloween costume tomorrow. So, we have the Halloween theme running through the episode. Eric walks in and he's going to watch Morgan now. And he says he's going to teach her how to take out the trash so that he doesn't have to.
Yeah, this is an episode, I think, if memory serves, and I could kind of hear it because I know my voice very well, I think I had a cold.
Oh, really?
And so it was one of those things where, you know, I'm living in LA for the first time. I'm 17 years old. I'm living with a legal guardian. And it was like, oh, you're not just allowed to call in sick because you have a cold. Like, the show must go on. Yeah. You gotta go off and you gotta do the show. And we're talking about coupling people up, pairing characters up. This is really the first time that Eric ever calls Morgan Weasel.
Yeah, Weez.
And so they're trying.
That became a thing.
It did for like three episodes. It was like they're trying. Okay, it's gonna be Eric and Morgan. We'll try this pair. Like, that pair didn't work, so let's try this one. And this is when they were really trying to now pair us.
And could you drive? Could your character drive at this point? No, because they talk about you getting a ride.
Yeah, we'll call Dad for a ride home.
So how old are you supposed to be?
I thought
15. Well, because doesn't Amy say, it's either in this episode or the last episode, she says, I've been a parent now for 15 years.
Oh, okay. So you're
not
15.
Quite 16. Yeah. I always thought you were 16. Because
I did too. And then she also says he was born in 1978.
Oh, and you guys are going together to the Aerosmith concert.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so 78 would have made you 15, right? In 93?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was 17 and I was born in 76. So yeah.
There you go.
And then it switched around where that, you know, then I...
Yeah, because what grade did you end up being in?
Oh,
well, we all jumped grades.
Yeah, at that point. I was like a 14th year senior or something by the time we were done. I'd been at Pembroke, you know, for 35 years.
But, John Adams. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, both. Yeah, but they were then, trying to hook Eric and Morgan up where it's like, all right, let's try this pair now and see if this is going to be some comedy here.
And you are cute with kids, which is, you know, I mean, later on you ended up being paired with a child as well.
Yeah. I like working with kids. I just don't want them around me all the time.
Right. We get it. We get it. You don't like having children.
Exactly. Do you?
I get it.
Ryder brought one to the house today.
So. I asked permission. I could have found a babysitter if I needed it.
No, never, of course. No, I love kids. I really do.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs Company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Bouqs has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Bouqs is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Bouqs now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Bouqs.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Bouqs.com, promo code WORLD.
Bouqs, promo code WORLD. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
Okay, so Eric says he will take Morgan to get her Halloween costume today. She's very excited. Corey and Sean walk in frantically.
Okay, this was another horrible acting moment. You notice Ben and I just standing there waiting for the door to open?
No.
Oh my really? God. Because you exit and we happen to be entering, but you could see us just
standing there. Wait, we can actually see your silhouettes?
No, once the door, opens, it's just so obvious that like we are.
You didn't
like,
run in.
No. Yeah. Like, I was just like, look at me. I'm just standing there waiting for the cue. It's like the most.
Oh, it's so funny.
Such a bad actor.
Now, why do you think, like, David Trainer is the director? We know as directors that that is something you have to tell actor kids to do. Take a couple of steps back.
Yes, he missed that take. Run up. But, you know, also, like, we probably did 3 or 4 takes, and this was just a take where it looks really bad, and for whatever, you know, and the director doesn't get final cut. So if there's another reason that they liked another take, you know, because David could have been great and given us that note, but...
It's also possible that there's just so many things on Kid Time that some things just slip through the cracks.
Yeah. I imagine.
But yeah, okay, so I did not notice that, you know, but you obviously did because it's you, but I thought you were wonderful. So you guys, you guys walk in frantically and Amy and Eric know something is up and it must be terrible.
Yep.
And then you guys leave. Then we're up in Corey and Eric's room. Corey tells Sean Mr. Feeney knows he cheated. Sean opens the letter Mr. Feeney wrote to Corey's parents. Now, I don't know if this was a continuity thing or what, but like, Corey definitely says, what are you doing? That's an envelope addressed
to my parents. Yep.
And then the argument is, we'll just put it in another white envelope. I assumed that meant on the front of the envelope, it said name. Mr. and Mrs. Matthews on it. But I guess it was just a white sealed envelope.
Yeah. Or they wouldn't know that it was originally addressed to them.
Or it'd be easy to forge their name on the outside of the envelope.
I also love how Corey, the idea of like, we'll just put it in another envelope was like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I never even thought of that.
Well, here's the thing. Here, I will actually make an argument for that. Because I was a really good kid.
Yeah, me too.
It would never occur to me.
Me either.
How to manipulate the situation.
Yeah. I think if you are.
But Corey's already been established as a kind of a schemer.
He was the mischievous one.
But, you know, I don't know if he is mischievous. You know what he is? He's a negotiator.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's the kind of guy who, like, wants to argue.
He works the room.
He talks his way through everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a little different than
You're
being,
right.
like, a
That's
like a schemer who, you know, so.
And yeah. he's a lawyer. He's more of a lawyer.
Yeah. He's more like a little lawyerly stand-up comic.
That, right. Exactly. That's the thing. Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
trying to talk his way out of things yeah. rather than you maybe more are the, like.
Actual.
Planner of the schemes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That okay. makes sense. I'll buy that.
Figuring this
I'll
out.
Buy that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I wrote down Sean as kind of an evil sidekick.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the beginning of that. Also, God, man, I never stop touching my hair.
Ever stop touching your hair?
Wow, is it annoying? I can't believe that they didn't like talk to me.
They loved
like,
it. Are you kidding? This is you were then in the teen
so
magazines like a year later.
It's
they
so
loved it.
Distracting. Like I just want to. It's clearly a nervous habit, like a tick.
Well,
you know?
I also noticed in this episode we get a couple Ben belt. Pulse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think that is just just a nervous.
Yeah.
That's why I can't believe anybody didn't tell me, like Michael or any of the directors be like, Ryder, stop touching your hair.
Yeah.
Because it's so distracting. I don't know. Maybe it's not as distracting.
That's the thing is maybe you're just hyper-vigilant over watching
yourself.
I know.
You guys definitely noticed it too.
I noticed it in the bedroom scene more than anywhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. In the bedroom scene for sure. But it also doesn't take me out of the scene. I just think, oh, there's Ryder doing
Ryder's
his
doing
hair
his hair thing.
His
yep.
hair
Ryder's
thing.
Doing his hair thing.
And so, yeah, it's definitely more distracting to you because it's you.
But you know what else it is, honestly? It's because they're straightening your hair.
It's
one
longer.
Of those things. If you watch any show or movie, any actor playing with their glasses is an actor who doesn't wear glasses in real life.
Yeah. Right.
So you have your hair being done every day. You're not used to it. So it's like your hands are going through it.
Totally.
So it's that kind That's of true. Thing. You know, it's that kind of thing.
It's also significantly longer when it's straightened.
Yeah.
And so it's
yeah.
in your eyes and you're trying to get it out of your face.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so they open the letter. I wrote Bad Influence Sean, really the start of this. Now, I also noticed, this is such a stupid thing, but we watch the shows with Chirons, with the, you know, subtitles.
Oh, okay.
In this episode, the Chiron says Sean, spelled S-E-A-N.
No.
Really?
Yes. And then later in the show, it's spelled Sean, S-H-A-W-N.
Yeah. Are you watching on old school DVD, or are you watching on Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Interesting, me too, yeah. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I noticed, because it has occurred to me a few times when people don't know how to spell our character names. And I think, well, how do people not know how to spell our character names? And I go, oh, because they weren't reading the scripts.
Yeah,
they're just
that's
hearing
what I've always been baffled by the opposite question. How do they know how to spell Sean? Because Sean's usually, the female version of Sean is spelled S-H-A-W-N traditionally.
Mm.
S-E-A-N is the male version.
Oh, I didn't
so
know that.
The writers kind of made a mistake by spelling Sean the way they did. And yet, everybody knows it. Like, fans, people come up to me, they always spell it correctly.
Well, there are definitely episodes where...
it was written down somewhere.
It's in the title of the episode.
Yeah, that's
or
true.
Or where
That's right.
Where there was... I know there's an episode, I don't remember what it is, but there's an episode where our class... our yearbook pictures are in there. And so they have our name and our yearbook pictures.
So, Corey is always spelled correctly too. With you know, you could do it with an E.
Right.
And people always...
Yeah. People
and I'm
know.
Like, how do they figure this out? Like,
I know.
But I guess there are scripts of Boy Meets World available online.
Yes.
Because I've had people show up and had me sign.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I wonder, I mean, again, though, it's also experiences. I know that sounds ridiculous, but my best friend growing up until I was like 8 years old was named Sean, and it was S-H-A-W-N.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay, cool.
So yeah, I mean, that's, to me, that was always spelled correctly.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just very strange.
Okay. So they open the letter and they're just going to replace the envelope. So then we're still in Corey and Eric's room. Corey is listening to classical music with his Phillies finger on.
Now, I remember this specifically. Do you know why I remember this?
No.
I remember this because they brought Ray Colcord down to the set.
To show Ben how to
do. Work with Ben on how to conduct a symphony. Like, I absolutely remember that.
Which is ridiculous because it's so funny. Oh,
of course.
Over the top.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with it, but he came down to the set, he had his baton, and he was teaching Ben how to conduct a symphony. Funny. Like, I'll never forget that.
It's really funny.
I love that they're just like... All right, Corey Matthews, are you listening to classical music?
Yeah. Well,
so, you must
like,
be
that
brilliant
must be, exactly.
because you're
you like Beethoven.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
must be a genius.
Well, they do say they've just come from the meeting with Feeney. So imagine as a parent, you get called to the school and Feeney says, so he's taken an IQ test and apparently he's a genius. And then the whole way home, they're saying, do we buy this? But how would he cheat? Wouldn't he come clean?
Well,
and
I'm
then you walk into the house and you hear classical music coming from his bedroom. You would walk in a little bit like, is this for show.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that was the conversation they had, or do you
think
the conversation is Feeney going, he cheated on the test?
Yes, I think that's exactly what the conversation was. It's like, how do you guys want to play this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then being like, well, let's let Corey figure this out.
Yeah,
you know, and we'll just,
Yeah, it's interesting. Yep.
I feel like that's too direct for Feeney. I feel like Feeney
would have been playing the parents too.
Yes, well, not playing the parents, but a little bit of the same way.
So
the parents, do we want to just come right out with no proof and call your kid a cheater? I feel like Feeney would have said, "Listen, we know this child well.
Yeah,
us and okay.
This is out of character. Results.
This feels out of character to me. Yeah. What are your thoughts?" Right. And let them agree with him and then say, "So how do we all play this?"
That's a good point. I can see that too.
All right. Right.
Feeney's more subtle. Feeney, I can see that.
You're the Feeney whisperer.
Yeah, you are. Definitely.
Tell us more about Feeney's backstory. I want to know.
Seriously.
He also does that with what salad to eat every night. He makes a salad for dinner.
It's just
arugula.
And that's it.
Spinach.
A giant bowl for himself.
I just came up with a TV show, prequel. Prequel show origin story for Feeney.
People have pitched that to me.
Really? Because how great would it be to see him in high school or in college?
Yeah,
man.
And like
with
can
his
it be
Mr. Feeney.
Feeney?
Wow.
Oh my God. I would love to watch that show, but make it like a straight.
Becoming Fa Fa
Feeney. And it's basically like Dangerous Minds, like the evolution of him as a teacher. Like when it's his first year teaching out of college.
Okay.
So he's only
it's 1968. Because he said that he had been teaching for 35 years and it's 93. So it's 1968.
Oh, Vietnam era America.
68 was it quick.
50.
Yeah.
Darn it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's okay. So end of Korean War.
Okay. So 58, he's teaching. Yeah, this would be an amazing.
Well,
and he's like,
you
want to
see him now, or
maybe
do you want to see him
teacher.
In high school?
No, I want to see him. I want to see Dangerous Minds, Stand and Deliver. You know, like the teacher who become like. Maybe
so you're not talking sitcom.
No, it's a movie. It's a drama.
What is Feeney like in the 70s?
Yes, that's true. What was Feeney like
I
in
think
the
he's
70s?
A total hippie.
Yeah?
No, got crazy. You see, he's just a total flower child. He's just. No, people have said that to me. They're like, you know what you should do a prequel of Feeney and you should play him. I was like, that seems like that would take people out of the realm of normal for that kind
of
thing.
That would be hard to focus on.
Yeah.
But listen, writer, we'll develop this idea after.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
Okay. So he's listening to classical music. He's got the Phillies finger on. Alan and Amy are watching him from the front door. They say they know about the IQ test, that he scored the highest in the history of the school district. And Amy says she doesn't understand why Corey's IQ tests are way up here, but his test scores are way down here. And Corey says it's because of a flaw in their public education system, and the system has failed him.
That's like the genius Corey lawyerly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was like, this is a pretty great argument.
Yeah.
Great response. Yeah.
Morgan walks into the room. She's dressed like a zombie. She's got a fake eyeball hanging from her face. And Eric is super proud of it because Morgan picked it out herself.
Yes. I actually thought. So the last episode was really painful for me to watch. The Nikki Cox episode.
Yeah.
That was horrifying for me.
you told
horrifying.
Us.
This one I felt like I was a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
It was not great, but it was definitely I was starting to slowly get it a little bit.
Yeah.
So this one was not as painful to watch. And we talked about how the last episode was actually the first episode that we filmed. That's why. But it's This was a little
right
better.
Between 105 and 106. Actually, a lot of time.
Yes,
passed.
Like four episodes
because it
wasn't like
shot
that.
Chronologically.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's a question for you guys: did you ever get so around the after you've shot two or three episodes? Generally, then the episodes that you've shot go to research and focus groups. Watch the episodes. And
not those back then.
Not back then?
That was Disney.
That's now?
That's now Disney Channel does that.
Okay.
Back then, ABC did not.
That's what I was
going to
say. So did you guys get, they didn't do focus groups and you didn't get feedback?
No, I never got enough.
Okay.
Wasn't there something back in the day called like your Q rating, which they weren't supposed to do and you weren't supposed to know what
you
it was?
You weren't supposed to know
but
it existed.
Everybody did it anyway. And it was like, it was technically like, it wasn't illegal, but it was like,
it was basically the equivalent of knowing how many followers somebody has on social media.
Right.
Your
right.
Q rating was your recognizability based on some sort of algorithm that took into account how many times you appeared on television and how high of a rating those appearances made.
And then they
were able to break it down. I got a copy of my...
Did you really?
I got a copy of the Q rating. This was like in 97, 98. My manager or whatever got a hold of it. And I was like on a list and I was like 30 something, I want to say. And I remember everybody being like, oh, this is actually a pretty high Q rating for a teenage actor.
Yeah, I was told I had a high Q rating too. And I just knew it was about, because even it's about whether or not somebody, they may not know your name, but if they look
at your
face, they go, yes, I know her.
Exactly. Wow.
And so
it's frequency on television. Like, and it would take into account if you were on a news program or had done an interview. Any, it would take all of that into account and sort of crunch the numbers to say, like, you've been seen by this many people this consistently, so therefore we can put you on a rating scale of, like, you
I can't believe you got a hold of it. Yeah, I have no idea what mine ever was.
Weird.
Should have been. I don't remember what my number was.
I guess
was,
that doesn't exist anymore, right?
I guess, I mean, I'm sure it does. I think, I'm sure it does. They just don't talk about it. You don't use it anymore.
Well, now you could just know you're influenced by some sort of online
social media. Okay, so yes, I thought you were very natural in this.
I was better.
We were all getting better. I feel like we were all getting comfortable with, like, the very notion of a sitcom.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so, more comfortable with each other. Yeah. And it's you know, we're getting to know each other as people, and that always makes a difference when you're getting closer to your cast, where just everybody gets more natural.
Chemistry.
Just kind of you fall into it a little bit more.
Can we talk about Lily's zombie outfit? How awesome it is.
It was
so
pretty
cool.
Great.
It's great.
It was
really
pretty great.
Cool. So then the next day we're back in Feeny's classroom, and Sean tells Corey to enjoy all the attention he's getting, but Corey does not like it, especially since now his parents are involved. And they want to blame the school because they wouldn't. So this is the first time again where now we see Corey and Sean hatching their scheme.
Yeah. I love this little, like, powwow moment.
Yeah,
I like that.
This back and forth, the banter of.
This is kind of probably the first time.
Yeah.
Again, I wrote, this is the establishment of Corey and Sean. This episode
the two
really
of you
does it.
Together that, uncovering.
Yes. Yep. And that, like, him turning back to have this conversation with me is like, I just remember that as, like, you know, that's in my body. Like, I saw it happen. I was like, oh yeah, I spent years doing that.
Yes.
Like, sitting on the edge of the desk or leaning forward on the desk while he turned around. And, like, that was just, that's just how we lived our life for 6 years of filming this show.
But it was no longer Corey and a group of guys. No, it was now Corey and Sean.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it was, and you can tell how well it worked.
It's
a really fun watching you guys
that
interact
is one,
together.
That
really
is one
fun.
Pairing up where they went, okay, that's done.
Good.
Like, we got that.
Okay, so you guys decide that you can blame the school, because if you hadn't found the answers, you wouldn't, he wouldn't be in this situation, and he wouldn't have found the answers had you guys not been in detention. So, aha, and I love that you say, so nothing we do is ever
our fault.
It's so great. And then Minkus walks up, Lee, and he wonders why Corey copies off of his paper if he's such a genius. And you tell him it's that you're admiring, he's admiring another genius's work.
Yep. Right.
And by the way, you then have a genius envy joke. You say genius envy.
Yeah.
It's a penis envy joke.
Yeah.
Straight up penis envy joke, which
pretty,
I obviously don't think any of us got at the time.
Yeah. I did not get it. Well, I wasn't there, but I mean, I would not have understood it until now.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, pretty clever.
I guess I probably understood it. You or if not, I probably would have asked somebody.
And you understood it as much as you could possibly understand without actually dying?
I think I probably would have known what penis envy was at that age.
Mr. Feeny then walks in with a substitute saying she is going to teach the class while he talks to Corey outside.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh no.
I mean, this is a total nightmare. By the way, this scene in the classroom is where the Chiron ended up saying Sean, spelled correctly.
Okay.
So in this scene we get Sean correctly. So we are in the school cafeteria. It's empty. Feeny's making himself a cup of coffee, and he asks Corey if there's anything he wants to bring up to him. Corey says he wants to talk about sports, and his laugh that he does
is great.
It's so
funny.
It's great. Yeah.
It is the most natural laugh I've ever seen a kid do on a show.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
So he laughs because he's, like, you know, caught and nervous, or feels like he may be caught. And so he gives him options about what he wants to talk about. Corey says, oh, let's talk about sports. Feeny says there's a school that's better for people with his kind of an IQ, and that the current school is holding him back. So he's not going to be at John Adams High anymore, or John Adams Middle School as it is. And he says that he's no longer in his class. And this is when Corey realizes for the first time that this has his lie has very bad repercussions.
Yep.
Now, we come back and we're in Corey and Eric's room, and this writer is where you are wearing an outfit that I think actually
wrote down my shoes were pretty cool.
Were they?
Yeah. I thought maybe for sure you'd bring that up because I have sneakers on
with
this red something. I don't know. I was like, oh yeah, those are cool.
I was so distracted by the upper half of your outfit. I didn't pay attention to the shoes because you are wearing a blue long sleeve
Yeah.
with a print, some sort of print short sleeve, but I'm putting short sleeve in quotes because it comes to medium mid forearm. Yeah, yeah, it's medium sleeves. Yeah. It's for what we would call those shants.
Extra
in the pants. So there you go. Oh, there's the picture now. Okay?
Oh, we've got the
blue
picture.
Blue long sleeve, the equivalent of a shant shirt.
And then
a denim vest over it. And the short sleeve shirt is.
And look at us both with hoods.
Do they go all the way to the bottom? Are you wearing three-quarter length pants?
They're so baggy, they're like resting on his shoes.
Wow.
And then you've got cool sneakers on that, again, but I look at this and I really do think, other than that short sleeve shirt being a little too long, I actually like that outfit.
Okay.
I think that's kind of cool.
I get it.
The goal of the costumer was clearly to layer.
Yeah.
Everybody is layered. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of true. Like, if people just wear t-shirts, especially kids, it gets kind of boring to look at, right? Yeah. Like, the whole idea is to, like, give people a little depth and, so I
have a question, which again, this might be something I'm completely making up. It might also just be a rationalization at the end of the day. Do you have were any of those multi-layers, did any of that have to do with making it so you didn't feel the balls when they were shot at you?
No.
You know, like, we're going to put on three or four layers.
I'm wearing three or four, and so is Ben. Like, we're always wearing three or four layers.
I thought you were going to say what my question is there, where the show takes place in Philly, is there some of it that's an aspect of, well, it may be cold outside, but we don't want to have jackets on, because jackets,
That's a better question. So that's pretend that was mine too.
Do you guys ever feel like our show took advantage of its location, though, in that sense?
No.
Like, we never really had discussions creatively about, like, well, this, besides him liking the Phillies.
Yeah.
But I mean, all through seven seasons, we were just kind of a generic place.
That's what you want, right? Though. You want it to be any town, USA, watch the show.
I don't think so. I think setting is so important.
What kind of show. For an adult show, yes, New York has its own kind. And that's why every sitcom, Seinfeld, Friends, they're all in New York. For a kid's show, you want a kid to be able to turn on the show in the middle of the country and go, this is my town.
My house, my town.
Yeah. So
totally. It's very suburban. We don't know where, but then there are episodes where, like, you know, I become a gangster or I'm working for gangsters.
Yeah.
So we're definitely in a city.
But
that
think about it. It's Halloween. It's October, end of October in Philly.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty cold. And
I
yet
just
you
don't
guys
think they
come
were having
running
any discussions like that.
I mean,
I don't think we ever talked about that.
Never talked about, like, the weather.
No.
I know for a fact that I was talked about with weather because I was constantly put in jackets. And here's a fact. I cannot act in a jacket. I have no talent with a jacket on. None.
It's your kryptonite.
It is. You put me in a jacket and suddenly I'm like, wah, 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 can't do anything with this jacket. If I have a jacket on, the first thing I want to know is, when do I get to take my jacket off? Can I walk in taking my jacket off? Because I cannot act in a jacket.
This is funny.
And so I know that I was regularly talked about, like, well, it's supposed to be winter. And it was like, please, I don't care. Like,
Boy Meets World.
Yes.
Wow. They would often do that then with winter, but do you remember ever doing that with summer? Like, meaning it's like, we're going to put you in shorts because it's obviously hot outside.
No, not really.
Like, that never happened.
No, I know. I don't remember any of these conversations about weather or setting. Like, to me, it was always like we were just
you walked into the little wooden places behind the set where your clothes were hanging, and you'd put on your clothes and you'd walk out of the set. Right. Like, that was it.
Oh, well,
it's a good time
about,
for this.
Yeah, it's a good time for the...
Well, yeah, I think so.
Oh, I've already asked him.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Asked him now.
We talk a lot about moms on this podcast and how important they are to us.
Absolutely. Without Jen Fishel, what pictures would we post on our social media?
But above and beyond all the incredible mom things they did for us, laundry, dinners, let us travel to Los Angeles alone to chase our dreams of acting. Will, what else was your mom doing?
My mom was also running all three courts in Connecticut while authoring books.
Wow. Well, whether your mom was a legal trailblazer or just the greatest source of inspiration and care in the world, this Mother's Day, she deserves some flowers.
You are right, and that's why I'm sending mine Farm Fresh Flowers from Bouqs.
That's short for bouquets. And while I'm teaching you things, how about 25% off your entire Bouqs order so you can join us in treating our mothers to a beautiful arrangement?
Love it.
Here's why I like the Bouqs company. They are different. Their flowers are cut fresh and sourced directly from the best flower farms, so they last way longer. They even have flowers grown on the side of a volcano.
That's really cool. Books has modern designs and unique flowers you can't find anywhere else. Your mom is unique, so she deserves flowers just as special.
And Books is simple. I went online, picked the delivery date, and I'm done.
Mother's Day is May 12th. Don't miss the chance to thank your mom. Order your Books now.
And with 25% off, you can send some to mom, wife, aunt, and even grandma.
Go to Books.com and use promo code WORLD for 25% off.
That's Books.com, promo code WORLD.
Books, promo code WORLD. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts.
Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves, and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Not a website, but a person in your community that would help you for free. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you'll get.
Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search.
Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you or download the Express Jobs app to get started.
With a wide range of opportunities in a variety of industries, from welding to sales, forklift operator to customer service, the team at Express is ready to help you or someone you know take the next career step.
Whether you're looking for a contract job for the summer or a new full-time role, turn to Express Employment.
Interviewing with Express Employment Professionals can be as easy as a phone call, and one application with Express puts you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community.
Don't go in your job search alone.
Visit expresspros.com today.
Will.
Yeah.
How do you feel about changing your clothes?
What do you have any issues with getting dressed?
I can't stand it. I hate it.
See?
I hate it.
Really?
I hate trying on clothes. Yep. I hate shopping for clothes. I hate having to change my clothes.
No, but it's having to change. When you walk into a room and there's a bunch of different outfits that you have to put on,
dude,
to try stuff on, your heart
yes.
goes.
And you have to do it as
Danielle,
fast as possible.
You have to do it as fast as possible. Get it out of the way.
And it also has to immediately be hung up on a hanger. I was never one of those to drop my clothes on the floor.
It's that you just, we were doing all this press stuff and you just, because I look awful all the time.
No, stop.
I'm not good with clothes. I just am and never have been. You put me with your
wonderful stylist
amazing
Mimi.
Stylist Mimi, who was coming. I had COVID at the time, so I couldn't actually see her in person, but she would come to the house and she would drop off bags of clothes in the front of the house, and I would stare at the bags of clothes before I even opened the door because I was anxious that the freaking clothes were
so dear listeners, this is a realization I had about 3 weeks ago or a month ago. I was getting dressed, hating it as I always do, because when I am changing my clothes, my heart starts racing. I feel like I've got to get it done as fast as possible. And I was like, wait a minute, why do I feel this way? And I walked into the next room and my wife was working. I was like, Alex, do you ever get stressed out by changing? She's like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I realized this is a holdover from when we were on the show, we would have to change while the entire audience was waiting between scenes. So the cameras would be moving from one set to the other, and we would have to run backstage.
Because it's different days, of course, right. throughout the course of a script.
And you have to, there's time pressure because we have to get the episode done in time for the 9.5 hour limit that kids can only work 9.5 hours.
And the audience is only there for like 3 hours.
Exactly. So there was so much pressure on us to get changed quickly and to put on those clothes in time for the next scene so they wouldn't wait for us. Like, that was always what was the fear, right? Is that you'd be, that you'd hold up all of production.
Yeah.
And I just realized I've internalized this so much. So then I came and I asked you, Danielle, and you said,
yes, I am the exact same way. Getting dressed is something that needs to be done very quickly. I still sometimes will, if I have to, if I know the next day I have a time crunch, I'll figure out what I'm going to wear the night before.
I always
and then
do that.
Put it in a, do you do that?
Right? I do that. If there's something I have to do, like if I'm going to fly, my outfit that I have to wear for the plane is laid out. The shoes are next to it. The socks are folded.
Well, that makes sense because you've got a suitcase.
But I do that with a lot of different things.
Like, but what about like a changing room in a department store? I can't stand it.
I won't go anywhere near it.
No, I won't go anywhere near it. I would rather buy stuff and try it at home and then not fit and have to go back. I just order everything online these days.
I hate it.
But yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy.
Like, and it's so crazy.
And I never put it together until Ryder mentioned it to me that he had it too. I never put it together. I just assumed it was because I am so type A that almost everything in my life has a very much like, why can't we do this any faster?
Nope.
I'm a real fun person to be around. And
changing
clothes is
it's like, and I just realized, like, I'm sure we're going to discover more of these kinds of things as we talk about this, but I have such anxiety about changing clothes.
Well, and you had a hooded vest and a hooded shirt and a t-shirt you had to take off and possibly change your jeans and then put on new three
and
shirts.
And it's also, everything's new. Like, all the clothes you're putting on are new and ironed and stiff. And there was nothing like, ooh, these are my old jeans that I've worn forever.
And I remember Ben and I got yelled at the first season because we didn't hang up our clothes. Because we would run into the change, we'd rip off our whatever outfit and grab the next one off the hangers. And I remember the wardrobe department being like, no, we're not your moms.
Exactly.
When you're done with it.
Yeah.
And so we also, not only did we have to rush taking off our clothes, we had to then hang them up on hangers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole process is just
it's
nightmare.
Awful.
It makes my heart
wardrobe
race.
Fittings,
just thinking about
all that stuff. I can't
hate
stand.
It. Hate it so much.
Yeah, I'm not.
But
I think it's part of the reason why I've never been. I wish I had good style. Like, I wish I had a good fashion sense, but I think I so stay away from it.
Yep.
I also feel like it hindered me ever knowing what my own style really is because
people were dressing you.
People were dressing me. Yeah. And so I didn't know.
This is your style.
Yeah, here's my style this week. And I, you know, now the only thing I know is like, oh, I'm self-conscious about this part of my body, so I don't wear this. Like, I don't wear cap sleeves. I'm built like a linebacker. And so anything that is like cute and feminine up top, I put it on and I'm like, I'm here to pick up your goods. Like, I do not like it. So like, I know that. I know the stuff that I'm like, I'm built like a linebacker, don't like to wear cap sleeves. But I otherwise, as far as like, well, what kind of style do you like? I'm like, show me some things. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I basically didn't figure it out until my mid-30s.
Yeah.
Well, you figured it out, though. Danielle very nicely was like, hey, we're going to be doing all this press, and I use this lady. Would you want her number? Like, that's probably a good idea.
I want a stylist. I'm going to do this.
Mimi's
the
greatest.
Awesome. She's awesome. And again, you just don't have to think about anything, but it is changing this and changing that. And then I was taking pictures of it, like, to send to her, to yay or nay things, and it was just like taking Polaroids when you get it was
anxiety inducing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we can anyway. Move on. We're all I'm Ooh. Sweating.
Big breath, everybody. Deep breath,
right,
and let's change our shirts.
Let's get to this living room scene.
Okay, so
we should finish the scene, which is I walk out saying, "Go ahead, take the test," because I figured out that that's going to resolve this whole problem.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. They're gonna make you take another one. Take this one honestly, and they'll see that you'll see average.
Yes.
Okay, so we're in the living room, and Jane Carr, who is playing Ms. Bertram from Mensa, she's so funny. She's talking to Alan and Amy in the living room while Corey is taking the IQ test right behind them, which doesn't seem like conducive to good test taking, but whatever.
Of course not.
Okay.
She asks Morgan a question to see if she also may be a genius, since Corey's a genius, and Morgan answers booger.
Biggest laugh of the show for Indy. Indy loved that.
It was actually pretty funny.
It's pretty set up perfectly.
It was pretty funny, and she nailed it.
I mean, obviously, Indy doesn't understand.
Right.
He just loved hearing the word booger out of a little girl's mouth, and seeing that it upset an older lady was just hysterical.
Did both of you come up with your answer to what her analogy actually was?
Flower?
Well, because she says oak is to elm as daisy is to
flower?
No, I would just name another flower, Rose.
Right, I would have said Rose. Yeah, so yeah. That was the first thing that went through my head was like, what would I have?
I'm really smart.
Well, you did not pass the IQ test.
I'm really smart.
Thank you, you can go.
I was fascinated by the class positioning of the Matthews family in this scene. I've never thought about, you know, like where, like how upper class or lower class, but there's right. this idea like she's the snob judging right. them yeah. and the being a tradesman, remember mm. she, or the trade yeah. workers. Yeah. Or so, and it was so interesting. It felt very Roseanne-ish, you know, yeah. like in the, I feel like nowadays, I don't know. It was just interesting to consider like, all right, we don't, I guess they're middle class, but they're not. Like, he works in a grocery store. Like, they're being judged, basically.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I found that interesting that, like, the show was positioning the Matthews, you know, as opposed to, like, The Cosby Show, where they did have sure. money and they just yeah. kind of never talk about it. They never,
well,
you know.
Think about who their neighbor is. Their neighbor is a public school teacher.
Right.
So they very much are in a probably, I'd say, it wouldn't be lower middle class, but middle class family.
Pretty big house. And
yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, it's a sitcom big house kind of thing. But again, that's your teacher. Is,
I mean,
you know,
I remember with Girl Meets World, this drove me crazy. Like the size of the apartment. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, to live in New York, that would be $8,000 a month apartment.
$11,000 a yes. month apartment. Yeah, exactly.
But so it's interesting to me that at this stage, there was a consideration of class and positioning the Matthews in the sort of middle class, but like maybe lower middle class. Like, or just
yes.
straight middle class, like
yes.
just middle.
I think somewhere between lower middle class and middle class.
Yeah. That's what I. Yeah, that's what I would. Them. I think that's absolutely
three
correct.
Kids. It's hard to be lower middle class when you've got three kids.
Yeah. yeah.
But so Allen's, he owns a grocery, or he's a
no,
manager.
He's the manager of the largest grocery yeah. store.
I'm going to keep an eye on this because I'm curiously, especially as we get into the later seasons, like how, because he ends up taking on the outdoor store, the camping yeah. store.
I also don't remember, and we'll get into this, I'm sure we'll see it, and you know there's going to be moments where we're like, oh man, I completely forgot about that, but it's going to be like, do they talk about how many cars they have?
Yeah.
Do they have one
no.
car? Do they share cars?
That's
do
what
they,
I don't,
like that kind
well, there's
of stuff.
That convertible that we all ride in the opening show.
Yeah, we've got the great please. 65 Mustang just, coming up.
Whose car is it?
For no
floating
reason.
Through space. Those credits. Right. Why do we all remember shooting those credits so well?
Because it was a nightmare.
It was an
absolute
nightmare.
And also because Ryder left halfway through.
Oh.
And so some of the shots, it's like he's supposed to be hidden behind the door when actually he's on a plane to, like, you know, Macau or wherever the hell he's
where
going.
Where are we going?
I don't remember.
You're
I do remember that
north.
I was only,
you're
I was probably
going
just going home.
Yeah. But you were like, no, I'm leaving.
It's
I'm like,
leaving.
We're halfway through this. Okay.
But we also just remember those days because they were special. You know, yeah. whenever yeah, yeah. we were doing something different, like
TGIF
opening credits,
bumps or something like that.
Stupid TGIF bumps.
Oh, those are
hey,
good.
We should watch one of those. Can we get a hold of them?
Oh,
does anybody?
Sure.
I'm sure we can.
All right, listeners, if you know how to get a hold of TGIF,
I think if you go, there's an Instagram page that's like yeah where they have
somebody's uploaded them to mm-hmm. YouTube
well
because
there's one I saw of I'm walking around the set with a video camera and I'm videotaping like interviews with you guys and at
that's
one point
right.
I'm like hey Danielle who's texting you and you're like none of your business Will
oh,
and it was like
gosh.
You got this giant pager that's
yes.
like this big you know that kind of thing so you see those things
texting.
It's a lot of fun yeah it's like who it wasn't even texting it's like yeah. who's beeping you or
yeah.
paging you so yeah you
oh,
get
gosh.
All that kind of stuff
pager code was the best
Jane Carr was awesome just for the record
Corey hands the test in Ms. Bertram says it takes most students over an hour to take the test. She starts to grade the test and she says, wow, his IQ is that of an average sixth grader. And then she seems like, you know, did you really think you were going to get away with it? Like everyone's in on it. Everyone knows. Ms. Bertram says that actually it's not that he cheated before. He's cheating this time. Yeah. He's a real genius, but he's pretending to fail so he doesn't have to change school.
This was a clever moment.
Yeah.
Because
like
you set up, you're waiting for them to reveal, yeah. you know, every, so you're just waiting. And so adding this little extra wrinkle, I thought was clever.
I thought so too. It's cute. Actually very cute.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming. So then Corey confesses to his parents. He found the answers. They figured out, but they were waiting for him to fess up. Morgan walks in again with her zombie costume on. Ms. Bertram walks out annoyed. And Corey does end up getting grounded, but they let it start the day
after Halloween.
Halloween. My parents never did that.
Like,
never.
This is what you're grounded.
You're grounded. You're missing the school dance. I was grounded once right
wow.
before
what did you
our
do?
School dance.
What'd you do? Do you remember?
I was smoking. I started smoking at 15
wow.
on Boy Meets World.
How can you smoke
you
at such a young age? That is horrifying.
Wait,
I was a heavy smoker by like 12.
Wait a minute. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember
actually,
you.
Actually,
you
I
and I
do
might
remember you with a cigarette.
Yeah, we might have smoked together a couple times back in the day.
I thought you were older, though. I thought you were like
no.
17.
I was like 15. 15, somewhere between 15 and 16.
Will, did you give her a cigarette?
No.
You probably
lit it for her, but I...
You go for a smoke break. Come on, yeah. You're 12, 13.
You know, how you doing, Hollywood?
What's the problem? It's time.
You have a martini after the martini show.
David Combs told on me.
That's being a good studio teacher.
Exactly.
That's
great. Well, my mom had said, so my mom is very, you know, my parents were very involved and they were, my mom, nothing got past my mom. And smoking is smelly.
You got to know how to do it.
Yeah, gloves. Yeah. I mean, I learned eventually, but at first.
You got to know how to do it.
I was just probably thinking, well, it's been hours. How on earth could I possibly smell? My mom suspected. She talked to David Combs and she said, I want you to watch her like a hawk.
Wow.
And David then saw me smoking and called my mom. And my mom, I got home that day and from work and my mom said, hi, how was your day? And I said, my day was fine. She goes, okay, dump your purse out. And I said, huh? She goes, yeah, dump your purse out right here on the counter. And I was like, okay. And in my head, I thought, so smart that I put them in my car. Or they weren't in my car. I hid them somewhere because I wasn't driving yet.
Yeah.
But they were hidden. And I thought, great, I'm gonna go ahead and go along with this and there's not gonna be in there. There was loose tobacco at the bottom of my purse.
What's
and
this?
I dumped my purse out.
Parents
there was
become
loose tobacco,
like CSI
and she
technicians
said,
eventually.
I know you're smoking. And I was like, well, I wouldn't say I'm smoking. Yes, I have smoked, but like I am not smoking.
Not a smoker.
Like I'm not addicted. I'm not continuing to do it.
Wow.
And it was, you know, terrible, and I was in so much trouble, and I was grounded starting that moment. And so what it meant was that I could wake up in the morning, go to work, and then I had to come immediately home. And I had a phone in my room and a TV in my room and my big CD player, you know, my 6-disc CD player, and everything got ripped out of my room.
Wow.
So no TV in my room, no phone in my room, no CD player in my room. I was allowed to study, read, and go to work, and that was it. And I was our vice versa at Calabasas High School, or my vice versa dance was coming up and I had a boyfriend and we were supposed to go.
And you
and
couldn't go.
I couldn't go. My mom was a real stickler about grounding, as you should be, especially with something as terrible for you as smoking.
Sure.
I wish I had listened.
I never got grounded as a kid. That was not like.
I got grounded occasionally. And nothing, but like when you get grounded, man, it makes you want to have a smoke. I mean, be honest with you. It's like nothing makes you want to have a smoke like sitting there grounded. You're 13 and you're like, ooh, I need a smooth one right now. It's true, but it's terrible. Oh, it's awful.
Oh, my gosh. You did not get grounded, but you also had a lot of freedom.
So much freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual in retrospect. But yeah, but I got in trouble. I got sent to my room when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely did that. But then, you know, I also wasn't that much of a troublemaker. Like,
yeah.
I think my parents kind of knew that, like, I was an okay kid.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I smoked pot, I came clean to them because it was an awful experience and I was very young. And then I was like, I was like, I'm not drinking, I'm not smoking, I'm not doing any drugs. And I was like that until I was about 16 or 17 is the first time I ever tried alcohol.
I was saying, I didn't start drinking until I was like 25.
So when we were on the show, I was like super clean cut. I was like
Mr. Straight
kid.
Edge.
And so I think my parents just let me.
At the start you were. Yeah. No, I was many seasons in. But anyway, okay. That's why I got in trouble and got grounded. I thought that was really, I'm not sure why they did it, to be honest. Why would they let him start the day after Halloween?
Because we can have that final scene.
Right. So we can do the test.
it's just to rationalize why.
It is kind of weird, but there's Michael Jacobs, when we were then doing, just very quickly, we were then doing Girl Meets World, Michael and I got into an argument on the set about my script because the script that I had originally written, Riley gets caught lying, and I had repercussions for getting caught lying where she got grounded, and he's like, no, cut all that out. I'm like, well, don't you want Corinne Topanga to at least vocalize in some way, shape, or form that she shouldn't be lying? And he's like, no, it's not necessary. And we literally got into a fight to the point where he brought in the ABC executive, and he's like, he wants it to be where we're actually grounding the kid afterwards, and I don't think it's necessary. I know you're going to like side with me, and he pulled it out of the script. So the idea of being grounded, like I had that in there, like, no, you got caught lying.
Yeah.
You got caught with a big lie. There's repercussions to that. And Michael specifically went out of his way to make sure that wasn't in the script. So I don't know what that is with the kind of letting the kids slide. But that was in this episode too, where it's like, we're gonna take some stuff away from you, but not the really fun,
exactly,
awesome thing.
I know there's a really fun day coming up, but you did a really bad thing, so have that fun. And then when nothing's going on, we'll ground you from
it. Is it just to keep it? I really do think it was just the logistics of having that last scene. But I also wonder, based on what you're saying, Will, like, is there something to having it not have a downer of an ending for kids watching a show?
Maybe.
Like, that you get in trouble and you pay the consequences, but you also can still be a kid and, like, you know, like...
Quite possibly.
Like, making your audience feel shame is, like, probably not the best way to end an episode. You know?
But at the same time, there's also that this episode, along with, I mean, more than any episode we've seen so far, is about consequence.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's the idea that it's like, you did this, now this is going to happen to you, but you can still go on the roller coaster, is a bit like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it kind of bumped me, but you're right, writer.
I get what you're saying.
The logical, actual technicality thing for this episode is, well, we need to have a scene with Halloween costumes to end the show. So Mr. Feeny, we are in Mr. Feeny's classroom. Corey walks up to Feeny's desk with his clown nose. He said he thought he had to be a genius in order to earn Mr. Feeny's respect. And Feeny says that all his students have to do to earn his respect is try their hardest.
Yep. Lovely, lovely life lesson.
Yep.
And then we're back in the living room. Morgan answers the door for trick-or-treaters. She gives them each one piece of candy and then gives two for herself.
Very cute.
I thought is very cute.
Yep.
Mr. Feeny walks up behind them with rulers and asks Morgan if he can have some of the Matthews candy because his ruler treats are not going over very well.
So great.
It's so funny.
It's a funny joke.
So this is actually, I really liked this beat with Feeny because it's one of the few times where Feeny makes a big mistake.
Yeah.
And like, you get to see Bill rattled. Do you know what I mean? Like that never happened on our show.
No.
I mean, or maybe I don't remember it that much. So this is a great comedic moment for Bill to play that sort of like, I don't know, just he's not in charge. He's not like completely confident. He's not completely cool. I loved this scene.
But what does he normally give out on Halloween? This isn't his first Halloween. What's he normally giving out? Is he
toothbrushes? He's the toothbrush.
And normally those go over well.
I know.
I don't know either. Yeah, but it's also, so there's something really interesting about the balance between Mr. Feeny knowing kids so well in the classroom and knowing them not at all out of the classroom.
Yeah. Right.
There's something kind of cool about that, where it's like, I know exactly how to handle kids in that one room.
Well, I also think
outside of it, I don't.
Yeah. I think it's great that we're getting to see Mr. Feeny the person versus Mr. Feeny the teacher. The more we have these moments, because up until this point, all of the moments of Feeny in the backyard are still, well, let me address your teacher. Mm-hmm. Hi, George, I have a question. Help me with, you know, my son failed a test. He's still playing the teacher role, as opposed to this is peer-to-peer, neighbor-to-neighbor.
Right. Yeah.
I need to borrow candy from, I'm borrowing a cup of sugar from my neighbor.
Right.
Is that why you think, would that be the rationale then for having him literally walk around to the front of the house?
Instead of just over the
Instead
back?
Instead of just, I mean, again, it's like you just walk out and you're right there.
Well, there's
but
no
he
gate
walked
there,
around
though,
the front of the house.
But there is no gate at the fence. Is there?
They hopped over the fence. They eventually add one.
They put one in later.
Okay, interesting.
So I think they eventually add one. Yeah, and I don't think we would have needed to change the location then of the scene because kids are not coming in through the backyard.
Through the back door. Right, very, interesting. Right.
And so what I remember about this, filming this too, is that, so that's actually Ben's voice.
Right.
Doing the so while that is Dustin, or Dusty, we found out,
Dusty
playing the part of the
masked kid.
He did say those lines behind the mask, but then they had Ben record them.
Sure.
So it could seem more obvious, I think, that...
Well, that's
that
the joke, is that it's supposed to be
it
Corey.
It sounds like Corey doing a voice, and that's what it was.
Exactly.
Right?
It was actually very confusing to me because there was... You are completely cut out of the shot for some reason.
Yeah, I saw that too.
We see that three children walk up in Halloween costumes. You as Frankenstein, Corey, and then Dusty with the mask. And yet... You get framed out of it for I don't know why. And I was confused as to who was talking. I was like, who is talking with these masks? Is it the character that's cut off? So to me, it didn't land very
well. It's because it's looped. I mean, that's also, it sounds weird.
It's also the way it was shot, though, was a little strange.
Yeah, it was a little strange. I'm not quite sure what was going on. Or maybe there were lines cut out of it. Maybe you did have stuff to say and it was too hard to show who was talking.
I remember it being a scramble. I think maybe we were late.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's a tag, so it would have been the last night.
Last thing.
I think we were really pressed for time, and I think it was like they grabbed Dusty, and it was like last minute he got a speaking role, And then after he left, they recorded Ben doing it. So it was like Dusty said the lines, but then was re-recorded.
Taken out. His voice was taken out.
So they James Earl Jones him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
James Earl Jones.
They James Earl Jones him.
Okay, that makes sense. So Feeny thinks it's Corey. He lifts up the kid's mask, revealing it is not Corey. Feeny walks away to go get candy from Amy in the kitchen. And Sean and Corey are next to each other. They pull up their masks and we reveal. There they are after all. This is a cute episode.
It was. It was a very cute episode. I think we're starting to, the show is starting to find itself and we're slowly starting to find ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first real episode where I noticed that, where it's like, okay. Yeah. Corey and Sean are a thing.
Right. Yep.
I don't look like I just found my lines, you know, 5 seconds before. We're getting there. I want to see more Topanga.
I know.
No Topanga yet. I mean, just the one episode.
Indy kept asking. He's like, where's Topanga?
I want to see more Topanga.
I made an impact on Indy, did I?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. I think the show is working exactly as it did.
It's supposed to.
Audiences,
yeah.
Which is that's the, you great. Know. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, our next episode is season one, episode 7. Grandma was a Rolling Stone.
No, my first kiss. This. My first on-screen kiss with Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell.
My first kiss, yeah.
Wow.
This is we got a lot to unpack in this next episode.
Yes.
Because I asked specifically for this episode, not for the Carrie Russell thing, but to work with Bill.
Oh.
So this was the first time you see Eric and Feeny together again, and I specifically went to Michael and asked.
Is this a pizza scene?
Yes.
You're holding the pizza?
Yes.
I remember that run through. I remember this run through because it was like we all lost it and we could see. I remember we were just like, oh, it works. The Feeny and Eric.
And this is the first time you see it.
It felt so good. And it was you holding a piece of pizza and you did it for the run through. You held a slice of pizza. And it was just so funny the way you were like, I just remember vividly sitting there with the whole crew and being like, oh, this is a whole new thing for the show.
It was fun. And the amazing Rue McClanahan.
Yep.
Played our grandma.
Well, I can't wait
this
to see
is
it.
A great
I don't think I'm in it, so I don't have any memory of it at all. Yeah.
This is a great episode.
Because if it's blah, 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 my line. so
unless you're wearing a jacket, then it's blah, blah, blah. Where am I supposed to do?
What do I do with my hands?
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
I don't know, jacket.
Oh, my. Where else are you going to keep your smokes?
Oh, my gosh. All right. So I'm really looking forward to that one. This was a wonderful episode. And you can follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show. You can email us your thoughts at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. You can buy your merch at podmeetsworldshow.com. And we'll see you next time.
We love you all. Pod dismissed. Pod Meets World is an iHeart podcast produced and hosted by Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong. Executive producers Jensen Karp and Amy Sugarman. Executive in charge of production, Danielle Romo. Producer and editor, Tara Sudbach. Producer, Lorraine Ruiz. Engineer and Boy Meets World superfan, Easton Allen. Our theme song is by Kyle Morton of Typhoon. Follow us on Instagram at Pod Meets World Show or email us at podmeetsworldshow@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Huggies Little Movers.
Listen, Huggies knows that babies come in all shapes and sizes, and so do their tushies.
Especially when they start really moving.
With Huggies Little Movers, you get their best-fitting diaper with its curved and stretchy fit.
That's right. So no matter what kind of mover you've got, they'll feel protected and comfy while their little tushy wiggles and jiggles all around.
Huggies Little Movers has curves designed to fit all baby curves and helps provide up to 12-hour protection against leaks.
So make the switch to Huggies Little Movers today.
We got you, baby. When I'm on my way to drop off the kids at school and I'm on about 5 hours of sleep and I haven't had my coffee yet, I'm truly one of a kind.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of a horror movie.
It is. But there is one thing I can do immediately to bring some comfort and calm to the situation and keep me moving forward. Eat Keebler Sandies.
I like to think that if the good-looking guy was still around, sitting on the couch, comforting himself about not getting into college, he'd ditch the Cocoa Puffs and down some Keebler Sandies instead.
Mixed with chocolate syrup?
Ooh, why not?
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat to keep you going.
Each Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler Elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for Keebler Sandies shortbread cookies to enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
When it comes to Pod Meets World, we're synonymous with two things. Watching our younger selves on a TV show from 30 years ago
and loving Hyundai.
The first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With up to 303-mile range, available two-way charging, and other category-defining features, the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 is one of the most teched-out electric vehicles ever.
And as you know, we are tech heads.
The standard ultra-fast charging capability gives you an 80% charge in just 18 minutes when using a 250-plus kilowatt DC fast charger.
And with the available two-way charging, you can charge larger electronic equipment inside and outside the car, backyard or side yard.
Hyundai, it's your journey. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities and select states only.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need.
That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class.
And 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles.
That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are with unlimited 2% cash rewards.
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready.
Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.